Good morning and welcome. I'll be reading this morning from Isaiah and from Luke, from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 9. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicators shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here I am." And then from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only God." And then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, God will command God's angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you do not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. These are our sacred stories. The baptism of Jesus by John is in all four Gospels, and in each one, Jesus begins his public ministry by saying yes to ritual waters. Yes to John's teaching about an alternative realm where resources are shared and domination systems are opposed. "Repent," John shouted. "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And then he described how to create that kingdom. "Whoever has two coats must share with one who doesn't have any, and whoever has food must do likewise." Jesus joined the crowd and then eased into the muddy water, asking John to baptize him. He said, "Yes." And the divine voice gives Jesus's yes a resounding endorsement. "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." Still dripping baptismal water, divine affirmation ringing in his ears, Jesus is spirit-driven to the wilderness, where he fasts and prays and is tempted. Following his fasting and temptation, Jesus says yes again, yes to where the Spirit is leading. From wilderness to Nazareth, he makes his way directly to the temple, where he announces his yes. Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Sandwiched between Jesus's yes at his baptism and Jesus's yes to his calling to bring good news and let the oppressed go free, we find the temptation narrative, we find Jesus's no. Kyle Childress, a minister of one of the churches in our camping association, tells a story of his ordination. He was ordained in a small, rural Texas Baptist church. He invited a retired preacher he met during college to give the sermon. The preacher was in his late 80s, gentle and kind. Kyle says he was attentive to others as much as anyone Kyle had ever known, that he had a deep prayer life, and that the rumor was that he'd memorized the entire King James Version of the Bible. The man preached a fine sermon on loving God and loving people, and then after the service, Kyle escorted the old preacher to his car. The man laid his Bible on the roof of the car and opened the car door and turned to Kyle and said, "There are just two more things you need to know about being a pastor. You'll need to learn to say no and hell no." And with those parting words, he got in his car and drove away. I've heard Kyle tell this story more than once, and he's never, ever explained what he thinks that old minister meant all those years ago. He tells this story as though it's obvious, and maybe it is. We all have our own temptations, challenges to our identity, our integrity. We've had to set boundaries and limits. We've had to determine our allegiances. We've had to navigate our yeses and our noes. Jesus says yes at his baptism, and then he goes to the wilderness and he says no, no, and hell no. Perhaps he needs these noes to get to the yes of his vocation, the yes of his calling to release the captives and proclaim a year of the Lord's favor. To know who he will be and what he will do, he first struggles with who he will not be and what he will not do. Resistance is part of Jesus's vocation. It's part of his calling. Jesus says no to any threat to his wholeness, to any threat to his identity as beloved, to any suggestion that he is not enough. If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Prove your worth. Prove what you can do. Show me that you're not a fake. Let's see a miracle. If you really are the Son of God, do something. You are what you can do. And Jesus says, no. There's more at stake here than hunger. Jesus doesn't need to prove anything. He knows who he is. He is beloved. And so the devil led him and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority." You're not enough, Jesus. You don't have enough. You are what you have, and you need more. All of this can be yours. This is the temptation of every commercial you have ever seen. You will be whole if your hair is shiny, your skin is clear if you lose the weight, if your lawn is the envy of the neighborhood, if you have these clothes and this house. Capitalism preys on our willingness to believe that we are not enough, that we don't have enough, that we're incomplete and will never be happy unless we become more, unless we get more. And Jesus says, no. No. This is about what's important. It's about what is worshiped. Jesus refuses to give his devotion to things. Jesus says no to living out of scarcity, jealousy, and want. And so the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, Throw yourself down from here, for it is written, God will command God's angels concerning you to protect you. The pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. They're in the most public place. Everyone will see. Show them, Jesus. Show them that you're important. Show them. Just think of all the accolades. Everyone will be so impressed. You are what people think of you. And Jesus says no. Instead of running around trying to make everyone happy, trying to earn praise, instead of hustling for worthiness, Jesus knows himself as beloved, as whole, and he resists every temptation to forget this truth. This Lent, perhaps we need to do some resisting. Maybe there are some no's that we need to say. Maybe even a hell no or two. We must resist the temptation to believe that we are lacking, that we are not enough. We must reject the belief that we are only whole, only valuable because of what we can do, what we have, or what other people think of us. While Lent has become about penance for some, which often means a time of self-abasement, there is nothing in the story of Jesus' experience with temptation to suggest that self-loathing is what should mark these days leading up to Easter. Jesus is tempted. He must learn, as that old pastor knew would be required of each of us, he must learn to say no. There is no doubt that we have said no when we needed to say yes, and yes when no would have better served us and the world. We are faced with choices each day, sometimes each moment. When we remember who we are, beloved children of divine love, when we know ourselves as enough, when our allegiance is to freeing the oppressed, our choices take on new meaning. When we live out of our own belovedness, we are that much more able to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. When we live out of scarcity rather than wholeness, we begin to believe the lies that we are not enough. And perhaps even more harmful, the lies that there is not enough to go around. We grasp and fight and hoard when we are afraid of shortage. We see our neighbors with suspicion and jealousy. We're not welcoming because we fear someone might take our portion. My friends, here again this day, you are enough. There is enough. Hear God's voice telling us again and again, you are my beloved, my favor rests on you. In these Lenten days, let this identity seep into every crack and crevice of your being. Let it open your eyes to compassion for yourself and every other living being you encounter. Let your belovedness guide your yeses and your noes. When we are tempted, as we all are, to believe scarcity's lies, may this meal of bread and wine and water, may this meal help us remember who we are. May it help us to live out of wholeness, striving not for what we lack, but striving for justice for the marginalized and freedom for the oppressed. May this be the fast that we choose. Amen.